This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. When we think of Ireland, we think of St. Patrick's Day, rugby, leprechauns, and maybe even the band U2. But today we're going to find out about bilateral trade. And to help us answer that question is the chairman of the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Malaysia, Oliver Roche. Now, why don't we start by getting acquainted with what the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Malaysia does? Are you just simply a lobbyist group to encourage trade and business to Ireland then?
Thanks, Xiaoling, and I appreciate the opportunity for being here this morning with you. The Irish Chamber of Commerce really is a voluntary organisation that's trying to promote bilateral trade between both Malaysia and Ireland in both directions. And that's really it. It's just to provide a platform for people to meet, discuss and try and discover new business opportunities in both directions.
So let me get this right. It facilitates, let's say, Irish businesses when they come to Malaysia. You help them find their way.
Yes.
And similarly, if there are Malaysian businesses that want to start in Ireland, you tell them where to go and how to begin.
Yes, we do.
So you're totally on a volunteer basis, all the members?
Yes, we do. We have a 7-member board, which is made up of a really nice mix of people from different industrial backgrounds. And we're not industry-centric in any way. It's fairly diverse on the IT, telecoms, construction, consulting, education, etc.
My question then is, how objectively do you foster trade? In a quantifiable term, do you have any numbers so that ICCM is not just a club for the Irish to get together, to drink a pint of Guinness and then watch your team lose at the Rugby World Cup quarterfinals to New Zealand?
Ouch. Okay. You know, when we started the organization, there was actually a predecessor to the Irish Chambers we know today called the Malaysian Irish Business Network, which was formed almost 9 or 10 years ago. And that organization wanted a reboot about a year and a half or so ago, and we formed the Irish Chamber of Commerce with the other 6 board members that I had mentioned. And one of the things that I was really conscious of is that we weren't going to be looked upon as being a social club.
You know, it's more than networking, right?
Definitely. It's definitely. We're genuinely trying to create business opportunities for our members. We're genuinely trying to create business opportunities for Malaysian business going the other direction. You know, we went from an organization of less than 10 people about a year to a year and a half ago to today being 60 to 70, which includes 30 plus corporates and a smaller chamber like ours. We need individual members as well, just because some of our individual members have got very important positions in various companies here in Malaysia. And obviously we wanted to utilize those people for, you know, to provide opportunity for people to connect and get business opportunities in Malaysia and the region.
And I did some digging. I mean, Malaysia is not a top 20 trading partner with Ireland and also vice versa.
Yeah.
Why is that the case? I mean, you're part of the European Union, but why do we have so little trade going both ways?
You know, obviously there's geography. First of all, Ireland is a relatively small nation of 5 million people. And just an interesting stat, I didn't know this myself until I did some research in the last few months, but Ireland is just slightly smaller than the state of Sabah. So just to give you an idea of scale, area-wise, we're a relatively small economy, only 5 million people. However, we are a service-driven an IT-driven economy. About 60% of our GDP today is service, which has a large part of that driver is IT and technology, which is obviously very good for the future for the economy. That's a very sustainable basis for us to continue to grow as a country. We were, back in the 1970s, circa 50 plus percent dependent on agriculture, 50% or more. Today, that's 1%. Which I really think says a huge amount for how the economy is transformed from being an agri-based economy to being a IT, tech-savvy, services-based economy, which I think really bodes well for the future for the country. But you mentioned about trade. Right now, there's not a lot. It's only about 635 million euro of trade, bilateral trade going in both directions, which is about 2.9 or 3 billion ringgit. That was in 2018. However, Malaysia is exports more than we export to you guys. You're about 2 billion ringgit going out to Ireland, and we've about 1 billion ringgit coming back in. So obviously that's good for Malaysia.
Okay, Oliver, let's talk about doing business in Malaysia and the challenges then, because we all need to compete globally. And you've been here. You lived here since 2011, and in 2014, you started your own business. So tell us honestly, what have been the challenges of an Irishman being here? Break it down for us. How difficult or how easy has it been to run your own business?
I must say that my own personal experience of doing business here in Malaysia has been extremely positive, actually. It's been very positive. And I think that maybe because we're a project management consulting firm, my own business is a we're a construction project management consulting firm. And I managed to find a Malaysian partner 2013-ish, and we decided to do business together in 2014. He's an investor partner, and that has been a really positive experience for me to meet that individual who has been giving me guidance into how to do business in the local market, which I think is essential. If you're looking to do business in this part of the world, I think it's really important to try and find that partner that you can trust, which is really difficult. I think that's one of the big challenges for doing business in this part of the world, is trying to find people that you trust. But the
what about the issues like maneuvering the government departments? Has it been challenging for you, or dealing with some of the other stakeholders?
No, I think that, again, because we're a service business, I think in the manufacturing sector, maybe there, we have got some members in our chamber that are in manufacturing, I think that maybe would be better able to talk about that. I do know that they have had some challenges with importation of certain raw materials. Some of our members have had issues with that. So I think that if you are a foreign business here in Malaysia, I think a way to try and boost business for foreigners here in Malaysia would be to reduce restrictions in importation of the basic raw materials that they need to produce and export. I mean, that goes without saying, right? Mm. I mean, you want to help the people that are making and creating the work here.
You want to break down any barriers, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So I think that that would be a place that I have heard our members talking about on the manufacturing sector. But on the consulting sector, it's actually, for us and for myself personally, it's actually been a very positive experience.
Do you think there's been a change of tone? Because you've been here since 2014. After Pakatan Harapan came into power last year, has there been a change in government policy or attitude when you go and see them at the different government departments, you think?
Absolutely. There's no question or doubt that they're more approachable. I'm actually very fortunate. I'm on the board of the EU Chamber of Commerce as well, because obviously Ireland's a member of the EU. And we do, through the EU Chamber of Commerce, we do have an opportunity to meet an awful lot of the ministers or deputy ministers, etc. And they have been extraordinarily approachable, I must say. And yes, to me, there has been a change from the previous administration to the current administration. And I think that's only a positive.
And what more can we do to facilitate trade and business? I mean, I want to look a little bit forward, okay? What do you think our future challenges will be in for Malaysia? Will it be the lack of talent? I mean, because you run your own business.
Yeah.
You see 10 years from now, will it be a lack of talent? There's complaints about the deteriorating standards of English, for example. Or do you think it's just better opportunities in the rest of ASEAN, in countries like Vietnam or Indonesia, which have larger population and a growing middle class?
In Ireland, I think the economy turned from being an agri-based economy from the 1970s to being an IT-based economy. And I think that the roots for that change were sowed back in the 1960s with a tremendous investment into education. And I think I'm a product of that myself, because the education system that I grew up in was very forward-thinking, and there was a lot of investment into that. I think that that's something that Malaysia can look at and maybe try and emulate. And you can never invest enough into education, in my opinion. I think it's something that's really, it provides you long-term sustainability, not just for your economy, but also for your people.
So is it a challenge to even hire today the right people, the right talent, the right skill sets?
Yes and no. I think that there's good people out there to be found. I think it is a little bit more difficult to find them than maybe previously. It's a difficult question to answer, really, to be honest.
Okay, and then you did say that you were lucky. You found a local partner, right, to get your business going in 2014.
Correct.
This is also echoed in the Enterprise Ireland booklet, which is Going Global, Access Asia, Exporting to Malaysia, a guide for clients. You all are very organized, you Irish. And there's a section on routes to market, which says, given the restrictions around foreign businesses, involvement in certain sectors, coupled with the government's positive discrimination policy, direct market entry is not advised, at least initially, which is advice you seem to have taken because you have a partner. But does this mean, in a way, it's difficult for Irish companies to come here because you have to work, in a way, around the system?
Absolutely not. You know, in the event the Asia Pacific Irish Business Forum that we just had here a couple of weeks ago, MDEC were present, MITI were present. I think as a chamber, we want to try and be a platform to introduce companies that want to meet these particular individuals that can maybe help identify potential partners for them locally. And, you know, there was a lot of the people that were in the conference a couple of weeks ago were IT companies, and I hope that some business opportunities will come out of that. Companies like Currency Fair, which is in fintech, OpenNet are already here in Malaysia with a very, very, very strong presence. And there were other companies as well. So I know that the feedback from the Irish companies that were there was positive about having the opportunity to meet people from MITI, having to meet people before like MDEC. And I think as a chamber, that's what we should be doing. That's really, you know, you asked us, what should we be doing? It's just providing a platform for people to interact and hopefully something comes out of that.
And there's one more interesting nugget in the Enterprise Guide. It was the paragraph under business culture where it stated schedules are usually loose and flexible and meetings may start late. However, Malaysians generally expect foreign visitors to be punctual. Are we that bad in Malaysia? Are we always on the way?
You know, there was a joke made by our MC at the event a couple of weeks ago where, you know, we were going to have a 15-minute coffee break. And she said, so that means we'll see you in 20 minutes. So maybe I'll just leave it to that.
Our reputation precedes us. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Oliver Roach, the chairman of the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Malaysia. After we come back, we're going to ask if it's easy to do business in Ireland and why should Malaysian companies want to. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Oliver Roach, the chairman of the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Malaysia. Earlier, we talked about the challenges of setting up shop here and what more can be done to facilitate Irish-Malaysian trade. Now, let's shift our focus on why should Malaysian companies want to do business in Ireland, the other way around.
Yep.
I mean, not a big population, only 5 million Irish people. Of course, you enjoy a good standard of living, high GDP of 5.8% last quarter. But what are the benefits of starting a business there? And what are the opportunities? Because honestly, Ireland can quite easily be ignored in the scheme of things when you look at the European Union.
Yes. Unfortunately, there is not a lot of investment from Malaysia into Ireland. And hopefully that will change in the not too distant future. I think that there's been a conscious effort by everybody in Ireland, including the Irish government and the various governmental agencies, to promote brand Ireland globally. Unfortunately, there are people in Malaysia or Asia that still don't realize that Ireland is actually a separate country independent from the UK.
They get confused with Northern Ireland. They think you're just one land mass.
Yeah. So I think we need to do a better job in promoting brand Ireland in general. And hence why we've formed the Irish Chamber here to try and assist in that effort. I think it's a challenge, is that obviously Malaysians are really familiar with London, really familiar with the UK. And when they get there, they don't think they need to go any further. When Dublin is only, or Galway, where I come from, is only another hour flight just up the road. The biggest plus, And I think the thing that I would like to emphasize the strongest here today is that Ireland will be the only English-speaking country left in the EU after Brexit, if and when that ever happens, which is an ongoing, never-ending saga.
No, Boris Johnson keeps kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the less said about that, the better. And then the... But the fact remains is that there's been the growth in the Irish economy last year in 2018 was actually 8%+ in the GDP, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, when you consider that the whole of Europe is not doing well, you seem to be the shining star, actually.
Right. And that's even with Brexit going on. So that says a lot about the resilience of the economy. I think there's tremendous opportunity for Malaysian or ASEAN business to base themselves out of Ireland and have access, unfettered access to the whole of the European continent.
So then how can we see or what can be done so that we see Ireland as, like you say, the gateway to Europe?
Yes.
Or to the EU now that UK has decided to leave the Union?
I think that there needs to be some maybe more positive high-level engagement between the two countries. Well, that's what I would like to see, is more positive high-level engagement between the two countries. I think that's happening at a working level, but it would be great to see a higher-level engagement about how Ireland being positioned as a English-speaking country in the EU, Malaysia being a strategic part of ASEAN. Maybe that can be a basis of more bilateral discussions between the two countries to provide access to both blocks for two smaller members, if you would. But I think both countries hold a very high degree of respect in both blocks. So I think maybe there's an opportunity for us to look at that, taking Brexit into consideration, taking the opportunities that are in ASEAN. Yeah, you're right. The EU is slow at the moment, but it's still a monster block and there's monster opportunity there for companies going that direction no matter what you do. So maybe the growth is not there, but the spending power is, as we all know, is tremendous, which I think provides a lot of opportunity.
Could one of the advantages be the lack of bureaucracy to set up business? Because one of the complaints about the European Union is that it's a hotbed of bureaucracy, right? Because you're dealing with 27 member countries.
Yeah.
Can Ireland make it easier for a Malaysian business to kind of venture into this union? I mean, to kind of do business in this union?
I believe so, yes. I think Ireland's an extremely business-friendly country. I can't remember the ranking, but I think it's ranked in the top 15 or 16 most business-friendly countries in the world. And similar to Malaysia, and I think that's something we should be trying to emulate with each other and promote with each other. The ease of doing business is an attractor. The corporate tax rate in Ireland, as we know, is very well known.
12.5%.
So there are many, 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 many advantages, not just from infrastructure access, English speaking, ease of doing business, but obviously the tax one is a pretty big incentive, I think.
Maybe we should be going there to learn the lessons. I mean, because you have, 9 out of 10 top global software companies, 9 out of the world's top 10 pharma companies are based in Ireland.
Yes.
Is that just due to the tax rate, though?
I really don't think so. I genuinely don't think so. And, I spoke about education earlier on. I think we've got a very, very, very well-educated, switched-on young population that are full of ideas. And I think that's the workforce, I think, is a big attractor to the big IT companies coming from the other side of the Atlantic. And I think that's a major factor as well. So that kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier on about education. I think that you can never invest enough into education, in my opinion.
Which seems to be unfortunate for us because we have high youth unemployment. In Malaysia, 10%, higher than the average of 3%. Mm. And lots of complaints, like you said, it's hard to hire the right people. Mm. Lots of complaints that our graduates are not doing the right course. Mm. So do you think all this means that we, Malaysia, on the flip side, it's going to be difficult for us to be the gateway to ASEAN? For Irish businesses? They come, they think, do I want to set up shop here? I might not get the right talent.
I think...
Aside from whatever bureaucracy they may face.
No, I think of the neighbours, first of all. I think the you know, I think that that's a structural thing that Malaysia needs to address over a short to medium term, maybe even a longer term thing. To me, the positives far outweigh the, if you're talking as a businessman, if you're talking, yes, as a businessman, just purely looking from a business perspective coming into the country, I think the advantages of doing business in Malaysia are tremendous. Your infrastructure is fantastic. People speak English. Your law is based on common law. The cost of living is a fraction of what it would be in Singapore. Hong Kong, I think, is not really very attractive at the moment with all the stuff that's happening there at the moment. So, look, I think as far as accessing ASEAN or Asia in general, Malaysia ticks all the right boxes from a business perspective. Does it need to look at investing into longer term educational things? Yeah, I think that's probably something that should be looked into, yes.
And let's end on the Malaysians' most important export, I would say, is palm oil, right?
Okay.
Because it's a major commodity for us, contributes 5 to 7% GDP. But there's this call for the EU, which Ireland is a member state of, to ban it. So what do you think? I mean, because this is a very hot topic here.
Absolutely. And I think it's... awareness, I think, is, if I was to advise the Malaysian government, is to try and educate the potential customers that you have in Europe as to the benefits of palm oil. And I think that this has become a social movement. I don't think it's political. I think it's a social movement. I think it's, you know, we come from vibrant democracies in Western Europe where, you know, when somebody gets hold of a social issue, sometimes they get a very loud platform. And I think this is one of them. Having lived here in Malaysia for 9 years, though, the one thing that I will say is that, you know, when the haze comes across the city, stuff like that definitely, definitely doesn't help with the messaging. You know what I mean? So if there's any advice that I would give to the Malaysian government or the Indonesian government, for that matter, anybody that produces palm oil, would be to really tremendously focus on the positive messaging and the positive things that palm oil can do. And I know, I'm definitely no expert in this matter, but I know that palm oil does a lot of really positive things and contributes a lot of positive things in where I come from and throughout the rest of the world. And I think that hopefully if they focused on a more positive messaging rather than trying to counter the negativity from there, then maybe that might help.
So the optics of the messaging has to change then?
In my opinion, yes. In my opinion, because I think some of the people that are on the opposition just won't, no matter what you tell them, they're not going to change their opinion.
On that note, thank you for your time, Oliver. It's a very interesting discussion on the Irish Chamber of Commerce. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.